All right, well, today is Pentecost Sunday, as we've been saying. Seems, I think, appropriate that in this season of transition for us, that it's marked by the day of Pentecost. Of course, Pentecost was a significant transition in the life of the church, the New Testament church, in the receiving of the Holy Spirit. For us today, when we think about Pentecost, we think about maybe a Pentecostal church, or we think about the baptism of the Holy Spirit and power coming upon the church. But that's actually different than what the Jewish people thought of when they thought of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost was a feast. There were three feasts in the Jewish calendar, and this was the second of these three major feasts. Penta means five. It came 50 days after the Passover for us, 49 days after Easter. And it marked the ingathering of the harvest of wheat. It was a time to come, give thanks to God, and to celebrate this harvest and to bring the first fruits offering of this harvest to the temple, or to the place of the collection of these offerings. It also became known in the Jewish community as signifying the giving of the law to the people of Israel that came through Moses. And so they believed that it was on this same date in the Hebrew calendar that Moses received the law. And so it's interesting that the Holy Spirit was poured out on the day of Pentecost. There was something prophetic being declared by God in pouring out. He could have poured out his Spirit anytime, but he chose the day of Pentecost. It just so happens there were probably tens of thousands of pilgrims who had come in from all over Israel that were coming in to celebrate Pentecost. And he is prophetically declaring an ingathering of a harvest into the church. Interestingly, Jesus talked about the separation of the wheat and the tares. You know, the wheat being the righteous, the tares being the unrighteous. And God was calling out his people out of darkness into light, into the kingdom of God, and writing the law of God on the hearts of people in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. But it was also a day that the church received power. And we're going to talk a bit about that. Pentecost serves for us just as Easter, you know, Christmas is an opportunity for us to remember and reflect on the significance of the birth of Jesus, the incarnation of God. Easter, of course, an opportunity for us to celebrate the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus and apply all that's significant about that into our hearts and lives. So Pentecost is an opportunity for us to grow in and embrace and experience the reality of the indwelling Holy Spirit and why he came. So we're going to look at a few passages of Scripture, and I'm going to preach for a little bit, but I'm going to make sure, I might not even go all the way through my notes, I don't know, we'll see what happens, but I'm going to make sure that we have some time to lay hands upon one another to receive the Holy Spirit. Maybe for the first time receiving the Holy Spirit, or maybe it will be just a fresh infilling of the Holy Spirit. Either one is good. Who would like some of that? Yeah? Come on. I wouldn't mind that. All right, let's look at a few passages. We'll put them up on the screen for you. This is Luke 24. This is Jesus speaking. This was after the resurrection. Jesus was around for 40 days, preaching, teaching about the kingdom of God, appearing to people. He appeared to over 500 people, Paul says. And this was a part of that time. He's with his disciples. And Jesus said to them, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead, and that repentance and for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations beginning from Jerusalem." All right, so he's telling them what's about to happen. It's all going to start from right here. He says, "You're witnesses of these things, And behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power from on high. The New Living Translation says, until you're clothed with power from heaven. Jesus was saying that there is a great message for you to proclaim, but don't go yet, just wait. You need to receive power first to do that. Then, of course, we should look at some passages in the book of Acts. Would be appropriate, don't you think? The day of Pentecost. Acts is the sequel to Luke's gospel. In fact, we could say that Acts is the sequel to all the gospels. The scene here, Acts chapter 2, you've got the 120 remaining disciples out of all who had followed Jesus, out of all that he had appeared to alive. Jesus had ascended to heaven, and 120 people are gathered in this upper room in Jerusalem. They've been there for about a week. They've been praying. And the Holy Spirit is poured out. It says there was this sound like a violent rushing wind that comes. It fills this house and this upper room. They all had tongues of fire, thus the tongue of fire here on the screen. They all had these like flames of fire on their heads. It was this manifestation of the Holy Spirit coming. And they all began to speak in tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them utterance. They go out into the streets and there's all kinds of people around, and apparently they were so overcome by the presence and the power of the Holy Spirit that people started accusing them of being drunk. Look at these drunk fools. There was something happening significant that had never happened before in Jerusalem. And skip down all the way in Acts 2 to verse 36. Peter has stood up and said, these people are not drunk as you suppose. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning. And he begins to preach the gospel to them. And look at this, verse 36. He gets to the punchline. Let all the house of Israel therefore know for certain that God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? Peter said to them, repent, be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. The promise is for you, it's for your children, and for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. Who's Peter talking about? He's saying this gift of the Holy Spirit is here for all of you, and it's for all those people, even 2,000 years later, in a land that they knew nothing about, now called Australia, people that are going to live generations from now, this promise I'm giving, that I'm speaking of today, he's saying is going to be God's promise to them at that time as well, whoever the Lord calls. Again, soon after that, this moment, Peter is preaching, Peter the preacher is preaching to a group of people who were in awe that he and John had just healed this lame beggar, someone that they knew standing in this at this gate near the temple. They knew him. They saw him there every day. And all of a sudden, he's standing. He's leaping. He's full of joy. And he preaches to all these people. And Peter, again, says, repent, therefore, turn back, that your sins may be blotted out. And I love this, that times of refreshing may come from the presence of the Lord. Who could use some refreshing? Who could use some refreshing? That he might send the Christ appointed for you, Jesus, whom heaven must receive until the time for restoring all the things about which God spoke by the mouth of his holy prophets long ago. And so we've just read three passages here. And we can see Jesus is promising this Holy Spirit, who is a gift from the Father to the children that he loves, who would come to bring power. Power would come from heaven in this gift of the Holy Spirit. It's a promise not just for a select few, but for every single believer at that time and all the way until Jesus comes back. And when he comes, he will come not just once. He'll come repetitively. It wasn't just the day of Pentecost. He'll come upon any people who are hungry, who are lifting their voice, who are saying, Lord, here I am, fill me. He will come with refreshing. Does that sound good to you? So let's talk for a few more minutes about this, and then let's participate. But I want to talk about power and refreshing from heaven. Let's pray. Father, we need you to do by your Holy Spirit what only you can do, which is stir in us a hunger that would shake us out of our temporal and fleshly minded things. Lord, we need you to do something in our hearts that's going to help us to not be self-conscious and insecure and focused on other people. We need you to awaken a hunger in us for your Holy Spirit. We want more of you, Lord. And God, I can't twist our arms into seeing or desiring. This is a work that only you can do by your Spirit. And we trust that even through the foolishness of preaching through an imperfect person, you can cause faith to come into our hearts, that we might believe and that we might lay hold of the gift that you have for us. I'm asking God that, Lord, you would fill us with your Spirit afresh, that you would prepare us for all that you have for us in the future. Lord, in this significant moment of crossing over, like Joshua crossing over the Jordan into a promised land, there's something significant for us today. We're crossing into a new season. Father, we're in need of your help. Lord, you're sending us as missionaries right into the middle of Perth. And God, we need you. We cannot do this without you. We recognize that. We see that. And Lord, we just want to be refreshed. And we thank you, God, that it's your desire to refresh us. So come, Lord, prepare our hearts. Lord, in the next 15 minutes or so, make us really, really hungry for your Holy Spirit. In Jesus' name, amen. I grew up in a home being taken along to a Word of Faith, charismatic, I guess you'd call it Pentecostal church that was really wild. Now, I wasn't really serving Jesus, but I would go along and I feared the Lord and I would have these encounters with God. It's amazing that you can show up at a church, the Holy Spirit's there, have an encounter with God, you can feel his presence, but is there really that moment of repentance? Interestingly, all these passages we looked at, it's repentance that precedes the coming of the Holy Spirit. I can't even describe that. I mean, one of my favorite things, well, it wasn't really my favorite because it was pretty awkward for me, but they would get this like Holy Spirit train going around the church, you know, like they'd all be doing that little, you know, you see people doing that when they have a lot to drink at the wedding and they're all like going around. Well, we used to do that at this church. It was pretty wild, but it was great. The presence of God was there and there was full of joy. Funnily enough, my parents later, my parents got divorced. My dad passed away. My mom got remarried to a Baptist man and started taking him along to this same church. And he was the only one sitting in the middle of the room while they were around doing the little train around the room, you know. But he's a good godly man, but just wasn't too into the Holy Spirit train, which is just fine. But I had plenty of encounters with God, never really fully submitted to him. But when I was 20 years old, the Holy Spirit began convicting my heart. All this stuff started happening in my life. Like God was just taking my idols away. Like my grandmother and grandfather found my weed growing in my closet and cursed my weed plants. She was a Spirit-filled Christian. She started cursing my plants. They all died. I got my beloved glass pipe taken away at a concert. All these little stupid things that I was worshiping that were like these little idols, God starts stripping them away. I started having these dreams and I would wake up sweating and like breathing heavily and my heart racing in the middle of the night knowing it was God like speaking to me in these dreams saying, I'm calling you to serve me. And all at the same time, there's this guy sitting next to me in accounting class. He's preaching to me about Jesus and his faith. He was one of my good friends. But interestingly, he didn't tell me to go to his church. He told me to go to his friend's church. That was this Holy Spirit, Spirit-filled church down the road from the uni. So I'd had this encounter with God alone in my bedroom. I get right with God, and I show up at this church the next week. And I can't explain to you just how there was, it felt really uncomfortable. It felt really awkward. It was so foreign. I'm looking around, people are worshiping and their hands are up, and it felt, there was still so much fleshiness. It was like almost, I almost felt a little bit embarrassed for them because I was like still thinking like a person in the flesh before, but yet there was something like, man, these people really are onto something here. And I was trying to participate, and these young people were up like prophesying, and the Spirit of God was moving. And after the service, I was in the back and I was talking to one of the pastors, and I was telling him my story, and he said, do you mind if I pray for you? And he just like starts, he puts his hand on my chest, and I remember it was my chest because I was wondering, I was like, does he feel how fast my heart is beating right now? And he just starts praying in tongues, praying in the Spirit. And he's inviting the Holy Spirit to come upon me. And then I just start speaking in tongues, and I'm weeping, and the presence of God is rushing over me. And it was just a simple moment in the back of the church building, where everybody's fellowshipping and hanging out, and I'm having an encounter with Jesus. It reminded me of Martin and I praying over a young man out in the hallway, just deliverance session and just the presence of God all over him. This is what the Holy Spirit does. He just shows up. And often through the laying on of hands. We'll have some time to lay hands on one another today. The Father desires to give the Holy Spirit to all of his children. Every one of them. I love Luke 11:13. Jesus is saying, if you being evil, you being a person born into sin, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more is the Father in heaven going to give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? You know, one of the things that can hinder us from receiving the Holy Spirit is not really being clear that we're a child of God, that God is a Father who loves us. Can we just settle that right now? If we put our trust in Christ alone, if we've repented and turned from our sin, it doesn't mean we're perfect. It just means we want to obey. It just means I'm choosing to think differently now. I'm no longer serving things of the world. I'm going to follow Jesus. It's not perfect, but I want to be perfect. I would love to be perfect. I want to be great. Every time you sin, you come back to him, God, forgive me. And you just receive his love and his cleansing. Why? Because he's a father to children. We were praying over Jake and Jimmy yesterday, and at their baby shower, we were praying about just this, how significant it is of having a child, and how you feel this love you've never felt before. It's a beautiful picture and illustration in the heart of every person who experiences that, of this is how much God must love me. It's a beautiful thing. But notice, the Father gives the Holy Spirit in response to our spiritual hunger. He gives the Holy Spirit to those, next slide, who ask him. What do you have to do to receive the Holy Spirit? Just say, Father, can I have the Holy Spirit? He says, sure. Boom, there you go. That's it. Have hands laid on you, that's it. All you got to do, it's that simple, I promise. You just have to ask. He loves that. It's got to be one of his most favorite prayers. I would love to give you my Holy Spirit. Yes. Thank you for asking. I've been waiting for you to ask. Here you go. Of course, the Holy Spirit does not come on spiritual pride or spiritual apathy. It's a hunger. It's a desire for him. The 120 on the day of Pentecost, they were all of one accord, they were praying. They'd been praying for a week. That's how hungry they were for the Holy Spirit. They're crying out to him. A whole week goes by, and the Holy Spirit gets poured out. I love this passage, Acts 2:4. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Might be a good time here to just ask the question, who spoke in tongues? Was it the Holy Spirit? It was them, the people. They began to speak. Now, where did it come from? It was the Holy Spirit that gave them utterance. If you've never been baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoken in tongues, don't think that you're going to fall into some kind of trance and God's going to take over your mouth. No. What normally happens is there's this, it's this moment, worshipful moment. You're focused on Him, and He pours out His Spirit, and you feel like this desire to express something and say something, and something starts to bubble up, but you got to let it out. You got to just begin to speak. Begin to speak. Get rid of the natural mind and that temptation to think, oh, this is just my flesh. Well, just begin to speak and see what happens. The Holy Spirit begins to give you an utterance. And maybe you'll get a new utterance today. My tongues have changed a little bit and varied over different times. When the Holy Spirit comes away, you get a kind of a new tongues. So just be willing to experience something new today in the Holy Spirit. Tongues is a heavenly prayer language that God wants to give every single believer. Paul said, I wish you all spoke in tongues. Clearly, it's God's will for every gift to be sovereignly available by the Holy Spirit to all of us. I like to see tongues as sort of like the gateway gift into all the other spiritual gifts. Oftentimes, I'll just put a timer on my iPad, and I'll just speak in tongues, just pace the floor, pray in tongues, 10 minutes, 15 minutes. Just pray in tongues, just as a part of my devotional time. The devil hates when we pray in tongues. He hates it. I was speaking to a pastor last year here in Perth, and he told me that they had this church meeting, but there were Muslims that were coming in and meeting and praying in the same place that they were meeting. And he said he came in after this once and felt this sort of like dark presence. And he just started to just pray in tongues really loudly. And he said it's like he heard this screech and like this presence leave the room. The devil hates tongues. When we pray in tongues, we're praying the perfect will of God. We are often in tongues going to battle in the spirit realm. There's spiritual warfare happening. There's prayers that we're praying. We're told in Scripture that the Holy Spirit prays with groanings too deep for words. It's like we get access to this Holy Spirit anointed prayer through tongues. It's a language of heaven. The ultimate purpose, though, of the baptism in the Holy Spirit is supernatural power to preach the good news of Jesus. Jesus said in Acts 1:8, you will receive power. When? When the Holy Spirit comes upon you. Why? To be my witnesses, even to the ends of the earth. That's why we're all here in this room. We're at the ends of the earth from Jerusalem 2,000 years ago, because people filled with the Holy Spirit have been preaching the gospel and making disciples. And in 5 years, 10 years, 20 years from now, this church, whatever it is at that point, will be the result of Holy Spirit-filled people preaching the gospel to other lost people in our city. But remember, Jesus said, don't even bother. Don't preach until you receive power. This is how desperately we need Holy Spirit power to preach. I remember when I first came to Christ, my whole purpose was just like, it was about me. I'm just glad to not feel a lack of peace anymore. Like, I'm glad I don't feel guilty. I'm glad that I can lay my head down on the pillow at night and just go right to sleep. What I didn't realize was Jesus was saving me for a purpose that was bigger than me, because I just wanted to show up. I was even willing to write my tithe check. That was back when we wrote checks back then. There was no online bank transfer. I was willing to I'll give my money, just don't ask me to share my story. I was very afraid. I was, the thought of a mic being in my hand was like, I would rather die than have that. It's like Seinfeld said, most people would rather be the guy in the casket at a funeral than the one giving the eulogy, because most people are more afraid to public speak than death. And that was me. Don't make me say anything. But I kept getting like thrust into these moments where the Holy Spirit would come upon me. And it was like, it wasn't that I wasn't afraid, but I had this courage to just do it afraid. I remember walking out of this cafe once with my friends. We were in having a coffee, and we walked from the outside past this patio, all these people having their coffee. And I walked down and passed, and the Holy Spirit says, go back and tell these people that I love them. I'm like, no, I'm not going to do that. And I kept walking, and he said, go back and tell. So I went back, and I was very afraid. I just said, hey, I'm sure it was very awkward. Hey, I just want you all to know God loves you. He changed my life. He wants to change your life as well. Okay, see you later. Bye. And I was out of there. No altar call, no nothing. I did the thing you said to do, and I got out. These things would keep happening to me. These out-of-body experience moments where I'm like sharing the gospel with someone, and it just happens, and I'm like, what is happening right now? I would be like, who is this person talking to this person? You know, it was the work of the Holy Spirit. It's not boldness and courage. It's not the absence of fear. It's this compulsion by the Holy Spirit of boldness. Jesus, do it afraid. You feel like you can't do anything but. It's like lives at, we're training the other day at the gym. I don't like to talk to people when I'm at the gym. I'll talk to them in the sauna, but when I'm lifting weights. So anyway, there was this guy that Livs wanted to share this another time. We'll get back to that. Never mind. I'm not going to say anything to that. There was this guy that she had felt like she had this word for, but she didn't tell him, and she was kept saying to God, sorry if I'm stealing the future story for you, but it's just coming on me. She's like, all right, if I see this guy again, Lord, I'm gonna tell him what you said to tell him. And so she's like, there's that guy, I've got to do it. So she just walks over, and were you afraid? Yeah, she was shaking. Of course she was afraid. We're all afraid in these moments where the Holy Spirit wants to get us out of the comfort zone. But she went over, she did it. It was a powerful, significant moment for this guy. Like there was like this response on him. Now he has avoided us sort of, it seems like, since then. But that's all right. Holy Spirit's still working on him. But man, we see this happen for Peter. He just literally a couple weeks before, 50 days before, he's denying Jesus to a servant girl. Right? Like the representation of the person in the culture that you should feel no fear before, Peter is denying Jesus. And then 50 days later, he is fearlessly, boldly, I don't know, maybe he did feel afraid. I have no idea. But he's boldly standing up and proclaiming Jesus to the very same people who crucified him, saying, you crucified the Son of God. No fear. Or at least there was boldness and courage there. Who wants to have some hands laid on him and receive the Holy Spirit? Come on. I wouldn't mind a fresh infilling of the Spirit. A few more quick things. Tongues and prophecy come with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. We see it all through the book of Acts. Anytime someone receives the Holy Spirit, there is this manifestation of speaking in tongues and or prophecy. We see in Acts chapter 8, verse 17, they were preaching to some Samaritan people, and they had gotten saved, I think Philip was, so then they go over to help them to receive the Holy Spirit, and it says They laid their hands on them, and then they received the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is received through the laying on of hands. It's like a transfer of power. Someone who's received the Holy Spirit lays hands on someone else. Doesn't have to be the guy with the mic. Doesn't have to be the pastor. Anyone filled with the Spirit can lay hands on someone who isn't filled with the Spirit, and they can receive the Holy Spirit. Now, we don't know exactly what happened, but it says when Simon saw that the Spirit was given, he saw something. There was some manifestation. What happens most other times is speaking in tongues and prophecy. Probably what happened there. We could look at another passage in Acts chapter 10. This was when the Gentiles had first come to Christ, and it was this Roman centurion who was the example of not just a hated Gentile, but the most hated form of Gentile, a Roman soldier. And Peter has a dream, goes to his house. Cornelius has a dream, calls him to come to his house, and he's just preaching to him. And all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes on them. And how did they know that the Holy Spirit came on them? Because they were hearing them speaking in tongues and extolling God. And they're like, well, I didn't realize we came here to lead these people to Jesus. I thought you had to be a Jew first to accept Jesus, but I guess not. How can we refuse baptism for them since they've received the Holy Spirit and they're speaking in tongues? How do we know they received the Holy Spirit? Spoke in tongues. What should we expect when hands are laid upon us to receive the Holy Spirit? We should expect to speak in tongues. One more we can look at, Acts 19. This is Paul traveling, and he comes to Ephesus and finds this person that was following Jesus but didn't really understand the full message of the gospel and had been baptized according to John's baptism. So then they baptize him in the name of the Lord Jesus. And then verse 6 says, when Paul had laid his hands on them, what did he do? He laid his hands on them. Because when you lay hands on someone, when you're filled with the Spirit, what happens? They receive the Holy Spirit. When Paul had laid his hands on them, the Holy Spirit came on them, and they began speaking in tongues and prophesying. What should happen? What do you expect to happen when hands are laid upon you? Speak in tongues. You might even prophesy. You'll be all right as well. Feel free. If you want to prophesy, prophesy. You start feeling something coming out, just let it out. Might be a word from the Lord for all of us. Just start prophesying. If it's something dumb, we'll correct you. Don't worry about that. Just take the risk. Be willing to fail. Just prophesy. I'm sure if it's the Holy Spirit, it's not going to be something dumb. We speak in tongues. When the Holy Spirit comes, we'll speak in tongues. Maybe even prophesy. One last thing we should say. In the Holy Spirit's presence, we experience refreshing from heaven. Man, we need this. It's like when you're running the marathon, you know, like I've never run a marathon, but I've seen it happen on TV. When people run in a marathon, what do? They got the little refreshment stand, you know, where they hand them the water. They have the water keep running. We need these times of refreshing in the marathon of following Jesus because sometimes it's hard. Sometimes it's difficult. Sometimes things happen. We want to give up. It's challenging. Maybe we go through a difficult season. Maybe there's this season of refining, maybe intense spiritual warfare. I've been talking to a lot of people lately. They're like, man, I just feel like I'm going to war every day, like spiritual warfare. Yeah, I've been feeling like that myself. God uses seasons like that to refine us and to work on our character and to perfect our motive and to challenge our motive and to strengthen our faith and to cause us to dig into the Word. But He also comes with His anesthesia of His presence, His refreshing that comes, and we feel just this joy and this peace and just this refilling like, oh, I can keep going. I can keep going. Man, one of the best ways to just keep going is just to get drunk in the Holy Spirit. Just get, if you're feeling stressed, get drunk. Just get lost in the Holy Spirit. Get drunk in the Holy Ghost. Man, I've experienced many times like this. They're all different. I remember once being at this meeting and, you know, I was laying hands on people and man, just people started dropping. It's like dominoes coming at me. These, in the chairs, I was like in the 12th row, and people just, he laid hands on somebody in the front, and it was just like, whoosh, and like people are falling down, and I'm like, okay, I'm like bracing myself, you know? And I just felt like this, it was like this cloud hit me and knocked me to the ground, but very gently. And it was like this electricity going through me and this encounter with God, and I felt his holiness and I felt his love, and I just was laughing and I was crying, and it was just this encounter with God. God shows up like that sometimes. I remember being in our Pneuma Revival Conference year before last, and there was this outpouring of the Spirit and the presence of God, and I'm crying out to God, and I just said, God, I need you to take me higher. And I heard his voice. He said, son, I need you to go lower. You want to go higher? Go lower. So I was like, all right. So I got down on my knees, and I felt this weight of God's presence. It felt like I couldn't get low enough. It just was like pressing me against the floor, like just this, the weight of his holiness. And the fear of God was on me, but yet I knew I was loved and I was accepted, and that he was my Father. Sometimes the Holy Spirit comes on me. I've had moments the Holy Spirit comes on me, and it's just like moments of joy and laughter in his presence. Other times it's just weeping and crying. But every time, it was just what I needed. Just what I needed. Who wants some refreshing?